Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 20th of November, recording at 9:20 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. It was a much quieter day today. The Asian markets, well, were mixed, but mostly a little easier because China is still very much on the defensive, down near its lows. However, the mighty Philippines hit another new all-time high here today. And moving to Europe, these stock markets, which had good gains yesterday, saw some profit-taking this morning. They were all down a little bit, but most of them then rallied to close up for the day. Now, the Swiss market was an exception, but that's sort of really outside so much of the whole Euro region problem. And the Italian stock market was down, but only 0.25%, and I think it was up over 3% yesterday. And we had generally modest gains in the other indices. Maybe top gainer here today looks like the DAX, up 0.69% or 49 points, taking that index up to 7173 nearly. And in the U.S. and related markets, another strong gain from the BovSpa index, and that is up over 1,000 points here today. And we have but Brazil's been under a lot of pressure until recently, so this is looks like a little bit of a short covering rally there. Now, elsewhere in the region, Mexico, which has been a firm market throughout, again nearly up nearly 1% here today, and Wall Street was down almost all day, but just at the close, we had the S&P move and the also the NASDAQ move fractionally up today. So it's not a bad day following the very strong gains that we had yesterday and some uncertain economic news. You get that most days, don't we? But yet it closed fairly steady overall. Now, elsewhere, again, I emphasize that this was a quiet day. After the, the main developments here, I'm just looking for that U.S. dollar index. It's up a fraction here, 80.89. And we've got the Australian dollar down just a tad at 103.88. And sterling, though, a little bit firmer, 159.26, and the euro, a tiny bit firmer, 128.18. So quiet, really, on the currency front today. We did see some weakness in U.S. government bonds. Long bond is down, that's bond future, is down over a point. And we saw some selling pressure also in the gilts. More on those bonds in a minute. We really need to watch that sector overall. Now, precious metals also, which had very strong gains yesterday, they gave up a little bit of that today, but really closed fairly firm. For instance, silver, and gold and silver have been the steadiest overall, but and particularly silver in the last week or so, but that had dipped down to 32.86, but closed at 33.16, and that's only down just under 3 cents here today. Now, palladium, which is very volatile, was a little bit weaker, gave up about 40% of yesterday's gain, 40-45%. And gold. Got up to 1735 and change, but couldn't hold it, and it's currently trading down 330 at 1728 and 40 cents. We had palladium, and I mentioned palladium. We had platinum a little lower as well, 1576.50. Okay, industrial metals quiet here today after their very good gains yesterday and recently, but they were mixed here today. And grains and beans, I see just a little bit firmer overall. Okay, so what's going on here? That's in term, particularly in terms of the big picture. Well, I didn't mention oil, and oil fell back today on the grounds, I think, that we're close to an end in this battle between the Israelis and the forces in Gaza, who've been lobbing rockets at them and getting a lot of rockets and defense facilities knocked out in retaliation. But the Israel stock market, which had fallen sharply early on, or at the beginning, or actually just before the attack, but it started to rally last Thursday. It was up on Thursday and Friday, and that continued yesterday, and it was quite a quiet day in here today. But the main thing is that the chances of this conflict spreading to a number of other countries seems to have diminished. Not that it was ever all that great, in my opinion. And that's caused the oil price to ease back, and so it still remains range bound. And that continuous commodity index also remains generally range bound. Now that's good because it means that commodity price inflation is not heating up at the moment, and I think it's unlikely to heat up unless we get some serious disruption in oil supplies overall. That's always possible given conditions in the Middle East, but it does not appear to be a significant risk in here. And all the time, I go back to a theme that I've been mentioning for years. Every day we just see a little bit more energy in various different forms brought online. So the renewables continue to flourish with the help of their subsidized costs, which of course the consumer picks up. The U.S. is in one of the best positions in terms of energy because it's been leading the development of the shale gas and the shale oil and is heading towards energy independence later on in this decade, although I think that progress will be slower over the next 4 years under President Obama than it will be or would have been rather with Mitt Romney. But I think for all of his green interests that I think that President Obama will also recognize that the gas is reducing or is far better than coal and oil in terms of emissions. And that it is also much needed by a still soft US economy overall. Now, we had that sharp bounce yesterday, as you probably know, in the US stock market. The selling had become a little bit climactic. It looks like we've got at least a short-term bottom in here, but I think we've probably seen the majority of the sell-off that we're likely to see during this soft period. The election surprised a lot of Republicans and some Democrats who were big holders of equities, and they've done their own tax calculations and want to take as many profits as they can this year rather than next year. Now, that's a bit of a headwind for the stock market, I think, over the next few weeks. But I don't think the market will plunge because of this news, because as it goes down, the remaining, and it's still up 130% or so above the lows that we saw in January, and I think also around June. So there are more profits to take. It's been a decent year overall for Wall Street. The S&P is still up over 10%. NASDAQ a little more, nearly 12%. But I don't, as I say, I don't think that that risk of additional, and I think not more than a risk, I think it's a probability of additional profit taking, I don't think that's going to lead to a sharp additional rout in the stock market. I think people may well hold off and see just do we get a little bit of additional firmness, and that would tempt them to ease out of a few more positions. But the net result of all this is that profit taking that would have taken place next year if the Republicans had won the presidency and Mitt Romney was president, that is now occurring, or it's been occurring since the election, and will continue pretty much through to year end. But then as we get into next year, we will definitely have the tax increases, but the chances are that a lot of those Republicans and the Democrats who are doing the same thing, that those investors will come back in. So what we all we're doing really in this correction is bringing forward some of that profit taking. And what else to mention here overall? I'll talk about precious metals just briefly. They are sort of on the higher side of their range for the last couple of months. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of additional backing and filling, but then I think we're going to see additional firmness here overall. With Obama, of course, remaining in the White House, that means that Ben Bernanke's power is even greater, or at least he's going to be in power for longer than probably would have been the case under Mitt Romney. So he's going to get to play out his experiment, which I'm sure will be studied by various market pundits for the rest of the century. And it's certainly an interesting experiment. I think it will wind up being mostly bullish, because it is creating a lot of additional liquidity and very low interest rates, but it is also creating a very dangerous bubble in the government bonds. And when that bursts, we will want to be quick to observe possible areas that may be hit. It's not going to happen immediately, so I don't want to go into it much in this audio, but it's something that we all have to be aware of. It is going to happen. No bubble avoids bursting at some point, and this will be no exception. But in the meantime, the monetary moves coming from the Fed are certainly a tailwind for equities overall. And once this selling is out of the way, I think once again those higher yielders and the autonomies will come into their own once again. I think it'll be interesting. And I do not think that, unlike a number of forecasters, I do not think that we're going to have another major dive to the downside. And one reason for that is because the European situation is dealable, containable. So people had been panicking about a complete blow up within the whole Euro region, and that was never Fuller Money's view, and it looks very unlikely here today. Although none of the problems have been resolved, but at least the European region, with considerable help from Mario Draghi at the ECB, is setting up the instruments for effective governance overall. Where the growth's going to come remains to be seen, of course. Now, what about U.S. growth? Well, those taxes aren't going to help, those higher taxes that we'll see next year. A weaker dollar? I think that's probably likely. And that'll be another tailwind for these precious metals. Probably my favorite asset class. Not probably, definitely my favorite asset class. And I have a number that I like. I like the autonomies, as you know. I like the dividend aristocrats. But I think it's precious metals number one, led by gold and silver, of course. And on that note, all the best to all of you.